Welcome to Robot Boombox's still as of yet unnamed racing podcast. This is our first episode. I'm Frank.
No, I'm Ian.
And it's the day after the Australian Grand Prix, the first race of the season.
First race of the season, and your first time watching an F1 race in a few years, I believe.
Yeah, in a few years, and my first time watching one live.
Yes, yes. Getting to watch it live was fun. Especially, I always like jumping in the IRC and, just saying a bunch of stupid stuff to other people.
Stream monstering the F1.
Mm-hmm. Kappa, kappa, kappa.
Man, I wish that they had an online stream that wasn't shady as fuck. But anyway, great race.
Yes, it was, in my opinion, like an awesome start to the season. And a lot of people, not a lot, but I saw some people complaining about the result, which, I mean, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about the results here, which was the same result as pretty much every race last season with the Mercedes in the front, 1 and 2, and then a Ferrari in third, with Rosberg in first, Hamilton in second, and then Sebastian Vettel in third. But honestly, like, the result is the result, and it's just the first race. The racing itself, though, was incredibly entertaining to watch. Like, there were so many amazing parts in that race. And, like, just so there's quite a bit to talk about. So, overall impressions of this first race, I'm really excited to see the rest of the season. Like, I'm hyped up. I'm after seeing what Ferrari's capable of, seeing what Haas is capable of, and just kind of getting a feel for where the cars stand just in general, I'm ready for more races.
Yeah, it was definitely a really awesome race, a great start to the season, as you said. I am definitely looking forward to what Haas F1 can do.
Yes, yeah.
But shall we start from the top?
Yeah, let's kind of go through the highlights here, starting with the start of the race. We're not going to talk about qualifying or anything. Qualifying order was what? Hamilton, Rosberg, Vettel, and then Raikkonen. So the two Mercedes in the front, two Ferraris right behind them, and then everyone else behind them. Like, I don't know. I don't pay attention after the first three or four guys. But
well, it didn't really stay that way for long once the race started.
Exactly. Yeah, the start was amazing. I'm always worried that turn one is going to be a huge pileup of cars. But when the lights went out, Vettel just, he put the moves right on Hamilton and Rosberg and got right in front of them and messed with Hamilton's line enough where Kimi passed Rosberg and Hamilton as well. So I think, like, within the first, like, 1.5 turns, the Ferraris are already in front of the Mercedes. And I was not expecting that. And no one crashed out in the first turn. I think there may have been some contact. I think Kevin Magnussen had a puncture, but I'm not 100% sure. I think someone may have hit his tire near the first couple of corners of the race. But
yeah, I don't think he got punctured, but I think that did happen.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, watching the Ferraris take off and just get past the Mercedes that quickly was amazing. Like, I don't know. There's not, like, launch control for Formula One cars, but I don't know. Like, I don't know how drivers practice launching the cars. I don't know if they get time to do that, because most of the testing, they're just, you know, out driving around. They do a couple hot laps, do a couple cool down laps, and testing that. So I don't know. Like, drag racing is one thing where you're constantly launching the car, you get a feel for it. I wonder how Formula One cars are to try and launch like that. How much is skill versus luck versus actually practiced behavior, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that as they were doing the warm-up lap, you mentioned the car swerving back and forth, you know, trying to keep heat in the tires. I'm assuming that with launches like that, you really want to have as sticky of rubber as possible. And so that's one of the reasons why they try and keep heat in the tires, is so they can launch better.
Yeah, I didn't realize how important tire heat management was in these races.
Yes, tires are possibly the most important factor in Formula One, like the most important part on the car, and tire management might be the most. Well, in fact, this race was pretty much decided by tire strategy. You know what I mean? Like, this is a perfect example of how important tires are in the sport as far as strategy goes, and then just importance to the drivers. If you ever see someone overuse a set of soft tires or super softs, where they use tires up and they lose grip, you'll see their lap times go up a second or 2 seconds because they just don't have the grip and can't push as hard as they've been able to. So yeah, as you watch this season, you will definitely notice a lot more racing strategy that revolves around using tires and when to use what tires. So yeah, very, very interesting topic, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it pretty consistently during each podcast after each race.
Yeah, especially with this race. But before we get ahead of ourselves, we have to talk about what caused that change in tire strategy.
Yes, which was a crash. Alonso and Gutierrez. And I was sad to see a Haas car taken out like that. I was also sad to see Alonso crash into someone. I've watched the replay quite a few times, and I think that Gutierrez was probably taking it a little bit easy because Haas, mainly, their objective was to finish the race. And so Gutierrez was racing a little bit slower than he had to. And I think that Alonso wasn't expecting Gutierrez to slow down as much as he did. And then he just, with the line that he had and the braking that he had to do, he couldn't react quick enough, and he clipped into Gutierrez and sent Gutierrez off into the sand pit or gravel pit. And then he flipped like, what, two times, one and a half?
Yeah, he sailed through the air, did about one and a half flips, and then ended up slamming to the wall.
Yeah, or I guess roll was probably the more appropriate term. He rolled as he was going. But yeah, when that happened, I was pretty worried because that was a ridiculous crash. But Alonso got out of the car. Like, the car itself was, I didn't really recognize it when it first showed it on the video, just because it had lost its wheels and it had lost like pretty much everything except the safety structure, that cockpit. And to see Alonso get out of that was a relief. And then I also thought it was kind of interesting that Gutierrez, like the second he gets hit, he's on the team radio asking if the other guy's okay. That was cool. I think it's there are certain people on the grid that don't really care too much about other racers. Like if you ever hear Raikkonen or possibly Max Verstappen, that would be another good example. Like they're on the radio. They're not exactly the most polite people. So for someone like Gutierrez to, you know, be looking out for the other drivers, especially since Gutierrez he wasn't really in that bad of a position. He got spun out, but, you know, he didn't collide with the safety barrier like Alonso did or anything like that. So it was nice to see Gutierrez, after he got out of the car, go over and check on Alonso. And yeah, nice to see some sportsmanship during the race.
Yeah. So that caused a red flag.
Yep, got a red flag. So everyone comes into the pits for how many minutes? Like probably until the debris is cleared, and then they have
I think in this case it was like 15 minutes or so.
Yeah. So during the red flag, you want to go over like this sort of the red flag changed so much of the race. So
yeah, it completely changed the race dynamics.
Exactly. So if you want to like talk about how the red flag impacted certain teams or like what you saw that changed that, I will listen.
Well, Ferrari, leaders of the pack up until that red flag, they obviously everyone ends up pitted. Vettel and on his car, they end up going with super soft tires, I think. Might have just been regular soft.
I can't remember. I think they were.
No, it was red stripe super soft.
Yeah, it was super soft, and then they switched to soft at another pit stop.
Mercedes ends up going to mediums.
Yes, and I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that the mediums that were on Hamilton's car were actually on there before the red flag. Like,
Hamilton pit directly before the red flag happened?
Yeah.
So he had lightly used mediums on. They didn't bother changing them, I don't think.
I don't think they did either.
I think they only had the one set of mediums.
Yeah.
Raikkonen's car gets cooled down. That comes into play later.
Yeah.
one of the Sauber guys, I can't remember, Ericsson, he gets penalized for them working on the car during the, it wasn't the 15-second countdown or whatever it was. So, race is back on. You have Vettel on tires that aren't going to last him to the end of the race at all.
Right.
Which
Ferrari's strategy is going to be to try and keep up the lap times on the softs and then, I'm sorry, on the super softs, try and, I guess, reestablish that gap. Because the red car, what, Vettel was a few seconds ahead. The Ferraris were a few seconds ahead of the
Mercedes. At least three.
So they had a pretty commanding gap between them. But that red flag just eliminates that gap. You know what I mean? Now everyone starts out in the same order, but they're all bunched together again. So I think that Ferrari, they wanted... Well, there are a couple different factors. One is I don't think they had any testing time on the mediums and they weren't confident that they would last to the end of the race. And the other was that they wanted to try and reestablish that gap by sticking with faster tires. But that decision turned out to be pretty fatal for them later on. But another thing that the red flag did is it was a huge benefit to Romain Grosjean at Haas, because Romain hadn't pitted at all, so he gets essentially a free pit stop.
Yeah,
this it's funny too, because I was hearing people say Haas scored points in the first race in their debut, you know, their debut race, and they didn't even do one pit stop for the whole race.
Essentially, that's
a big benefit to Romain, because he keeps his position and he gets new tires on during the red flag, so he didn't have to spend any time doing the pit stop. So that was a It was a decision that was made. I'm sure, you know, they were going to wait it out. I don't know. What, did he have mediums on at the start? But, yeah, essentially that was a good bit of luck for Romain. He got to keep his position and get tires all at the same time and not have to worry about pitting. So, yeah, that's another big thing that the red flag did.
Yeah. So, basically, that completely kind of resets the board. There's a lot of interesting midfield stuff going on.
Yes. After that, after the red flag, Hamilton is back in sixth, I think.
Yeah, he ended up fighting his way through that midfield.
Which Hamilton does, man. Like, Hamilton has some serious pace. Like, Hamilton and Vettel both can push really hard. I think that's one of their defining qualities, is the fact that they can bang out super fast laps consistently. And when they're in front, that makes them nearly unstoppable. And when they're in the middle of the field, they can either do a lot of work and move forward. Or as we saw, Hamilton was stuck behind Carlos Sainz for a while, I believe, in one of the Toro Rossos. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. The longer that he was stuck behind Carlos Sainz, I was thinking, okay, this is good. As long as he's going slower, the Ferraris can create more of a gap and be a little bit safer. But that didn't really make much of a difference in the end. Speaking of Carlos Sainz and people trying to get by him, there's quite a bit of drama. Like, I think this is one of the reasons why people like watching Formula One, is because they'll play some of the radio clip or the voice communication between the drivers and the team. And there was some, I don't know, turbulence in the team over at Toro Rosso for a little bit.
Yeah, Verstappen... A little pissed off at Carlos Sainz for not letting him by so he could have a go at who was in front of him? Yellow. I can't
not
remember.
Hulkenberg. It was Palomo.
Actually, I'm look this up. It might have been Hulkenberg.
No, it was the other Renault driver. I'm going to look this up because I need to know. I mean, it's not good to not know the driver's name. Let's see. I want to say it's Palomo, like it's a PAL something. Drivers, Jolyon Palmer. So Jolyon, and then Palmer. Who is he? Oh, he's from the UK. And he was born 20th of January, 1991. This guy's as old as me, or he's a little bit older, actually. And he's a Formula One driver, and I'm not.
I feel like Formula One is something that you basically have to be born into.
Pretty much.
Or be really lucky to get into. Like,
Yeah.
Right. It's like a right place, right time thing.
Yeah. What's even crazier, Max Verstappen is 18 years old.
Yeah, which kind of explains some of his behavior on the track, right? Probably. Yeah,
it does. It does. He's 18 years old. He's 18 years old. I think he's one of the youngest. I think he's the youngest driver on the grid. I'm not sure though. Anyway.
But yeah, eventually Sainz lets Verstappen by.
And then Verstappen just overtakes Palmer pretty easily, I think, right?
Yeah, he did.
And then he puts Palmer kind of in a bad position, and then Carlos Sainz can get by him too.
Gets by Palmer as well. Yeah. That happened within like 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty nuts.
Yeah. Daniel Ricciardo didn't make it to the podium. He was in the points though, but I'm sure he would have liked to have a podium in Australia, but you know, since he is Australian, but he didn't make that happen. Moving on though, another person that didn't make it onto the podium, Raikkonen. He was out of the race, sadly.
The Iceman became the Fireman.
Something like that. Or the Iceman needed a Fireman.
The Iceman needed a Fireman. The Iceman became the new Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Raikkonen pulls into the pit and his head's on fire.
Exactly. There were two things about that I just laughed at. One was Kimi saying, "I broke something," and then climbing into the pits. And then the other was the camera angle of the camera that was mounted to the car. The camera was like being engulfed by the flames.
Yeah.
Like that video was ridiculous.
Yeah, the perfect angle of race marshal spraying the fire extinguisher on him because Ferrari's team is too fucking slow on the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
They were also too fucking slow on Vettel's pit around that time too.
Yes, they messed up Vettel's pit stop by what? A couple seconds, I think, right? They couldn't get the front left wheel on. I can't remember.
They could get the front left wheel off.
Okay.
To change it out for whatever reason.
Pit stops can be so crucial. In fact, I often think that sometimes watching the pit stops is just as entertaining. A good pit stop is like so much fun to watch. And a bad pit stop is also kind of fun to watch, but for all the wrong reasons. It's like watching a train wreck.
Yeah.
Especially because Vettel needed every single second he could get in order to bring the fight to Hamilton. Because Vettel pits on a super softs and switches over to softs in an attempt to catch up with Hamilton, who no longer, you know, he's on his mediums. He's going to run him to the end of the race as part of that strategy that Mercedes had. It turned out to work for them, but Vettel just Ferrari's strategy didn't work.
He loses 2 seconds in the pit. He gets back out on softs.
Mm-hmm.
And he spends, like, he knows at this point that he's not going to get first.
How many laps do they have? Like 12 laps, 17 laps? I can't remember.
I think they had around, I think his chase went from like lap, I want to say 20 something, but that might not be right.
It was the total of 57 laps in the race. And I think that it was like 42. I can't remember, but
he had like a handful of laps left.
Yep.
But he somehow fights his way back from mid-pack up to where Hamilton is.
Mm-hmm. Which is third at this point.
Yeah, I think they were fighting for third. Were they?
Hamilton had to take Ricciardo at some point. I can't remember if Ricciardo was in third or not. I'm pretty sure that Ricciardo was in third for a short amount of time.
I think Ricciardo had to pit out.
Mm-hmm.
And that let Hamilton slip into second. I think that they were basically fighting for second.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Vettel goes from 10 seconds behind to, I think his lowest was 0.4.
Yeah, he's in the 1 second range, in the DRS range. He's where he wants to be. Yeah.
Then he gets overzealous and ends up in the dirt. Not like completely in the dirt.
He goes off the track, which is never good.
Yeah.
And that pretty much sealed the deal on that. Like, he was looking pretty good. I wouldn't have put money on him being able to pass Hamilton. But for me, the most important part of that whole part of the race was the fact that the Ferraris can catch the Mercedes. Now, obviously, Vettel's on soft tires and Hamilton was on mediums, but I think it's really important that that can happen now. Because
we're also forgetting what caused that to happen, which was Verstappen ending up flipped around completely and losing part of his front wing.
Yes.
He left debris on the track. I don't think that they, like, if they cleared it, I don't think that they cleared it as well as they should have.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the reasons why Vettel ended up in the dirt was because he took some debris badly.
I didn't catch that, but that would make sense. I think that Rosberg ran over a piece of carbon fiber at one point too, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So, by the end of the race, we have your standard Merck Ferrari lineup.
Yep. Which hopefully won't be a regular thing this season. Well, I'm sure it will be relatively regular to see Mercedes and Ferrari on the podium, but it could be cool to get Red Bull up there and maybe, I don't know, maybe Williams. It'd be cool if Felipe Massa took a podium or a race. That would be sick. But yeah, one Ferrari, two Mercedes. And I thought it was funny that that Mark Webber did the interviews. He probably did some of the best post-race interviews that I've seen, which makes sense because after racing for however many years, and I think he's still in World Endurance Championship, but I'm not sure. He does commentary for races as well for some Australian networks, but
yeah. But Haas ended up with some points.
Which was amazing. Thanks to Kimi retiring and their luck with the pit stop, Haas scored 8 points. Romain Grosjean and Haas F1. And I thought it was really funny in the post-race interview when this Ted was talking to Gene. And Gene mentioned something about it was their fault that they had the crash because it was one of the Haas cars that crashed off. I wouldn't say it was Gutierrez's fault that crash happened, but he was like, yeah, we caused the crash. And we, because of that, we were able to, you know, use a free pit stop essentially and got points. So kind of did everything that race.
Yeah.
I kind of like the attitude that, that he has, you know, he definitely isn't, what's the word when you're kind of over optimistic about what you're going to be able to do. He seems to be a very down to earth and reasonable guy, especially when it comes to his expectations for the team in their first season. So I'm sure that everyone at Haas was very happy with having someone in the points, especially eighth place. Like that's pretty, or I'm sorry, eighth place. Is that?
Yeah, it was sixth.
Heck yeah. Felipe Massa ahead of him, then Daniel Ricciardo, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, and Nico Rosberg. I don't know. I think there are just so many good drivers. You know what I mean? Felipe Massa, Daniel Ricciardo, Sebastian Vettel, Hamilton, Rosberg. Ricciardo he's never won a championship, but he's won races before. Nico Hülkenberg in the Force India in seventh place. Like, that's pretty cool to see Force India up there. Then Valtteri Bottas and the Williams. And Toro Rosso. Like, Toro Rosso's in the points. That's really cool. McLaren, Jenson Button back in 14th, which isn't particularly great. I know that McLaren have said that they're not running their engines at full power right now. Their engines they're the only team using Honda engines, and last season they were just like the most unreliable and awful engines. And I think that we might see more of the same this year, but I'm not sure. They definitely have better pace than they had last year, that's for sure. I don't think either of them even finished Australia last season. Like, I think both of the cars blew up.
That's surprising, given that consumer side Hondas are usually pretty reliable.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not it's not a Honda Civic engine, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that the design, what I've heard is that the design of the Honda engine involves a turbo that spins at a higher revolution. They essentially made a smaller turbo that spun faster for packaging reasons, but unfortunately, that higher speed turbo is not as reliable as some of the other turbo designs that other teams are using, which makes perfect sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They went a little bit too extreme, but who knows? I'm sure they've got people working on it and trying to improve things, improve tuning so that they can keep everything together. The podium, just the podium interviews and the drivers talking, I thought was pretty funny, especially with Weber doing the interviews and Sebastian and Weber being previous teammates at Red Bull. And I'm not sure if you noticed this, but when Sebastian Vettel went off, a lot of people in the crowd cheered. Like, that's one of the interesting things about the quieter engines, is you can hear the audience. And like, there was so much. Multi-21 is a thing that you'll need to look up. Essentially, Red Bull gave the team order that Mark Webber was going to finish first, and that Sebastian Vettel needed to let Mark Webber pass him. Like, let him pass. And Sebastian Vettel did not do that. And as a result, like, Australians pretty much hate Sebastian Vettel because they didn't let their home team driver, like, he essentially disobeyed a team order, and that led him to winning the race and Webber not. And so there was some bad, bad blood between Vettel and Webber for a long time. It was cool to see them kind of joking around up on the podium.
Yeah. So what do you think you're looking forward to next race?
More of the same. Like, honestly, if everything, no, well, not everything stays the same, but like, if we can get as much excitement out of the next race as we did this one, like, I'm totally cool with it. It'd be cool to see Ferrari on a pole position, but I don't know if that's a possibility. Like, Hamilton's qualifying times are just ridiculously untouchable. And so things I really want to see this next race are a better strategy from Ferrari, a more competitive strategy, something that'll keep them where they need to be. I think that Ferrari's strategy would have worked if it weren't for the red flag, though. So Mercedes kind of went with the strategy that worked for that situation. And Ferrari, unfortunately, they just didn't. And I think what we'll need to see for the next race is just some better strategy from Ferrari in order to keep them competitive. I'd also like to see Haas in the points again, like,
yeah,
just so that people aren't gonna say it was just a fluke, because it was essentially just a fluke that they were in the points. Well, I mean, that they got as many points as they did. I think Romain still would have been in the points. It's very possible he could have gotten 10th or something without all the extra assistance. But like, it would be really cool to see Romain and Esteban doing some work. I'm really pleased with that team so far, and just the attitude they have. I liked at the end where the guy opened his race overalls and his t-shirt said, "Have no fear, Haas F1 is here." Like, that's just cool. Like, that's just funny. You know, it's fun. Like, I like the energy that the team has. Not that other teams don't, but like, it's cool to see the team that you're cheering for actually also be really entertaining to watch.
Yeah, well, I think that they know that, like, they might as well. Obviously, you have to take the race seriously because it's a race, but I think that they bring a bit of levity that other teams who might have a better shot at it don't. Like, everyone in Ferrari's camp seemed really pissed off.
Yes.
At all times.
Arrivabene is like, he has a very, like, mafia boss attitude and air about him. So if he's in a bad mood, you are also in a bad mood, and you don't, you know what I mean? Like, his attitude definitely dictates the mood over at Ferrari. And I think Arrivabene was very displeased with the result because of the fact that it was a strategy error. You know what I mean? It's like, he saw that he could have won that race if, and by he, I mean Ferrari, of course, that Ferrari could have won that race if they would have done a different strategy, or if they would have had a few more laps, or, you know, I think that there's a lot of pressure on the Ferrari team to win because they have the most history in the sport, and they have, I think, as a team, the most wins out of any other team, partly because they've been around for so freaking long, also partly because of Michael Schumacher. But yeah, there's a lot of pressure on Ferrari to actually get it in gear, so to speak. So it'll be interesting to see if they do that.
Yeah. What do we have up next?
The next race?
Yeah, race-wise, what's the next one? I know it's in Bahrain, like 2 weeks.
And it's not this coming weekend, but essentially 14 days from now. And let's see. I'm not sure if I've ever really watched Bahrain before. I have. I definitely have. But it'll be interesting. You should maybe look at a map of the track, and you can look at previous races that have gone on there. But yes, Bahrain is in Abu Dhabi, Dubai. No, somewhere. It's in the Middle East. And I always get Bahrain and Yas Marina mixed up, which I shouldn't because they're two completely different tracks. But yeah, looking forward to that race for sure. I hope that they can keep up the levels of excitement that we have had with Australia.
Yeah. Looking forward to the race. But I think we're going to cut that short here. And we'll see you guys in 14 days for the post-mortem of the Bahrain race, I suppose.
Yes, we will.
Bye.
See ya.